from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure as heck is. Happy Monday, everybody. We are worldwide today, baby. I'm Kyle Madsen. I'm hanging out in the studios here in beautiful Roseville. It's actually going to be a nice, normal summer day today. I know it's still supposed to be in the mid-90s, but that's much more tolerable than 108. It's cooling down at night. It was nice and cool when I got here this morning. It was just fantastic. The weather probably a little bit different where James is. James, live on location in Cabo, doing some deep international scouting down there. James, what's up, man?
Well, there is this kid at the Carl's Jr. and the airport in Cabo that is legit 6'10".
He is
legit 6'10".
You sent me a photo, and I was certain it was maybe a weird angle, or he was on a like step stool or something. Nope. Just my man has to get a deep knee bend to get down to the register. Like he was
even if he was like on a box or something.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're elevated. The ladies next to him literally don't come up to his like elbow. Like he's a tremendously huge human being. So yes, I am in Cabo again. I am here celebrating my 25th wedding anniversary, which is later this week.
That's a big time.
And I wasn't supposed to be here all week, but it just kind of worked out that way where I got extended and now I'm here. I'm here and Kyle is there.
Yeah, man. So we'll have some fun with you down in Cabo. I might need a Cabo report every day just about what's going on, what the vibe is. I know you got some breakfast this morning, and I can't wait to hear about it. But we'll have that. We've got a ton of Kings Summer League action to get into. Monty McNair spoke today. Well, I guess probably not today, but spoke today, and we'll talk about some of that and some of the fallout of what he had to say. And of course, Team USA is playing against Australia right now, so we'll have some Team USA takeaways as well as we enter the MLB All-Star break, which is that period of the calendar that every sports talk radio host dreads. Every sports talk radio host who's worth their salt does what James is doing right now, and they leave for this week.
They get
they
out.
They circle the All-Star break, and they go, hey, there's nothing going on. It's a little bit different this year because of the Olympics and the tune-up games for Team USA basketball, men's basketball. We have some summer league action, like I said, but not a ton going on in the sports world. But we do have a very minor announcement regarding myself. If you're not doing anything Friday night, would love to see you out at Sutter Health Park for the Rivercats game, because not only will your boy be in attendance hanging out and eating some good food, drinking some good beer, and having a great time at a Rivercats game, I will also be throwing out the first pitch, which is a lifelong dream of mine. And I'm not even kidding. Ever since first time I went to a baseball game, I was like 9 years old, 10 years old, however old I was. It was like, I want to do that. That guy doing the first pitch, or that lady doing the first pitch, whoever it was, I want to do that. And now I get a chance to on Friday, and it will either be, James, a high point of my life where the baseball acumen that I acquired over however 6-7 years of playing year-round in tournaments and high school and all that is still there, or I've lost it entirely and I make a fool of myself in front of everybody at Sutter Health Park. So come find out. And be out there on the 19th when ESPN 1320 and myself will be out there hanging out at Sutter Health Park. Can't wait! I'm so excited.
Are you gonna lob it in there? Or are you gonna like give him the cheese? what's your plan here?
So
I want to know because I hope that I get this opportunity as well. There's a possibility that I too will get to do this.
Oh.
And again, I would love to do this.
Yeah.
We'll see if my arm falls off when I go to throw with the shoulder impingement, but like you got to hurl it, right?
Yeah. So this is where, so I have a buddy who works for the San Francisco Giants, and I told him that this is going on, and I said, how do I handle this? Do I go full blown, like step up on the mound, like look back at second, check first? And he's like, no, you don't want to take it too serious because you're not the main character. Nobody's there to see you.
It's like,
all right, fair enough. No. And he's right. Maybe people will pull up. Hopefully some people pull up just to see me do that. But it's not the point of the game, right? So I think there's a happy medium because I don't want to lob it. I don't want to throw an Ephus pitch, right?
Yeah,
but I'm also not going to throw it as hard as I can. A, because that will hurt my body, and I don't want that. B, the harder I throw it, the more likely I am to either spike it or send it into the left-handed batter's box or something bad. Throw it over everything, like hit the bull, you know? So I think I'm just going to, like, a nice, easy toss. I'm not going to go full-blown, like, you know...
Slurve.
Yeah, no movement, no two seam, no curveball, nothing.
A cutter.
Nothing weird. If this was closer to me having played baseball, competitively, I might be more apt to try and do something funny like that or something weird like that. But my main priority is throwing it over the plate. I know it's funnier when it's bad.
Yeah.
But there's too much pride on the line for me to not want to throw a strike.
You're at least gonna like bring your glove, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm hoping to get to talk to somebody beforehand. Maybe do a little bit of scouting on what other people do in these situations. Okay. My instinct says bring glove though. I think that's right, especially if I get a chance to throw a little bit beforehand to warm up some. I'll need that. So yeah, we'll see. Before I went to the A's game on July 4th. I got to throw the ball around with a couple of buddies, Wade and Nate, and salute to them for indulging me wanting to throw a baseball. But it went well. It went better than I was expecting. So I'm my confidence is high going into Friday. But we'll see once I'm out there and I'm actually like on the field how I feel about it.
I feel like you're gonna do the open jersey look.
That is, dude. You know me so well. That is 1,000% my plan.
The open jersey look is what Kyle's going with.
Yeah. I'll just go t-shirt under, you know, a little Rivercats jersey. I'll probably buy a new hat, to be honest. I'm wearing a Rivercats hat today. One of the finest caps in all of Major League Baseball. It is the Tower Bridge baseball logo. Mm-hmm. One of the very best. And I've seen a lot of minor league baseball hats. This one just goes so hard. So I may wear this one, but they have the 916 one that I think is great. They have the old school Rivercat logo. The RC logo, they have the paw logo. There are a ton of good hats there in the team store that I'm planning on snagging. But open jersey look is going to be the vibe. And I don't know if I'll have the option on this. Again, I haven't gotten a ton of details on the actual pitch itself, but I don't know if I'll be able to throw from the mound or if I'll have to go from in front of the mound.
Mm.
If I'm in front of the mound, bet the house I'm throwing a strike. If I can't go on the mound, if I have a choice, I'll go mound. But if I don't have a choice, if they're like, yeah, stand in front of the mound, I'm throwing a strike. That's easy work. That's easy for me.
Okay.
But throwing off a mound is different. Like, that's a different, even if you're just doing a small step, like, because where you really get going downhill, right, is when pitchers separate their hands and they extend their leg, like they want to get that width, right, where they're really getting downhill to get that momentum going towards the plate. I'm not going to be doing all that. It's going to be a small step forward. So there will be a small decline when I throw it, and that's where the danger comes in, because that's not something I can really replicate. I don't think there's a field near me that has built-in mounds that I'm able to go practice on. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to practice. Don't get it twisted. I will be practicing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I get an opportunity to do this, I'm like the boys, one of them is going to be out in the front yard, like out in the street, like catching,
yeah,
like nonstop.
You
like,
have to.
We'll see. We'll see how many throws I got in my arm. It's pretty it's pretty shot. But, you know, I played baseball. I played Little League. I played 18 years of softball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can sling the ball a little bit. We'll see how it goes.
That's been my biggest hang up with this is, so I need to throw, right? But I've had elbow problems for forever, like since I played. Yeah. And I get really bad tightness on the inner part of my elbow, like right down in here, right? Probably need some kind of surgery, right? But yeah. I don't have the tingling in the fingertips. Like I've checked all the symptoms and I don't think it is. But I get it when I golf, when I bowl, like it just this part of my arm's torched, right? So I'm trying to find the happy medium of throwing before Friday, but not throwing so much that on Friday my arm hurts. And now I'm throwing a bad pitch because I tried so hard to not throw a bad pitch. So I'm in a tough spot, dude. I'm gonna be.
I get this.
I'm waffling on this all week.
I didn't expect us to burn the entire first segment on this, but I'm all here for it. Yeah. And no, I don't think Kyle will wear a cell shirt. I'm just gonna say I don't think that will be
so.
I don't think that's on brand for what we're trying to do here.
No, it's not. But when this first came up, this was months back. Because at a radio station, it works like any other job. Someone has an idea. Someone will say that idea, whether it's in a formal meeting or just kind of Charlie, our boss, is awesome. You can just walk up to him anytime and be like, hey, idea. And then he'll come to you either later that day or the next day like, yeah, I followed up on that idea. Here's where we're at. It's awesome. But this came up like a while back, and that was actually my first thought is I'll go shirt over the cell shirt. And then when I get out there, I can take that shirt off and I have the, but that doesn't, that just doesn't play. That's a bad look for your boy. So
initially I thought you and I were going to go to the game together,
right,
and sit there and eat and drink. And I don't know, maybe that's what we will do. Like if I get an opportunity to do this, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. If you get to, I'm pulling up. If you're doing this too, at some point I'm pulling up. I know you can't come to mind and that's fine. I'm not going to begrudge you one bit. If I was in your shoes, I would do the exact same thing. But if you're doing this too at some point, I will absolutely be there, and hopefully everybody in the chatty house will be there as well. Hopefully you listening will be there Friday at the River Cats game. I will be throwing out the first pitch, so make sure to get there early so you can see me either show off my useless baseball throwing skills or make a total fool of myself. Either way, it'll be a rocking good time, and then I'm just going to be there hanging out. I'm there for the experience, so I'll be bopping around out. So if you pull up, make sure to let me know so we can grab a beer, grab a hot dog, grab some nachos, whatever it is, and we'll have a great time out at the River Cats game. And we're gonna have a good time on the show today. We've got Kings Summer League action. We got Monty McNair talking about that this might just be what the Kings roster is, and is that enough? Plus, DraftKings dropped some win totals for this season. We'll talk MLB All-Star Break, Team USA facing Australia right now. We'll have takeaways from that. Plenty to get into on a Monday. He's James Hamm, live from Cabo. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
30. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm over there, Kyle Madsen here. Jiffy Lube, omnipresent. They sponsor the program. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. They're going to help me get my Honda Civic to 300,000 miles. Maybe.
Or bust.
Or bust. Which, you know, TBD. enough about me throwing a first pitch at a River Cats game, which is happening Friday. Get your tickets now. So you can come watch. Kings Summer League opened on Friday, and it didn't go great. Sacramento lost 103-83 to the Grizzlies. What did they finish with? 31 turnovers?
31. They were looking at the record and like, oh, I don't think that they're going to get to the record. And then boom, 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 boom. Three turnovers in a row in the final like 90 seconds.
Oof, that's tough. And I think there's nothing – here's where it's – if – I don't want to diminish what Las Vegas Summer League is, but the Kings having 31 turnovers in a Summer League game doesn't move me that much. What does move me from that game, although it's a hilarious number, like just objectively, 31 turnovers is so many. But there were two things I took away from that game that I think matter for the Kings in the regular season and maybe beyond. But Colby Jones through the California Classic did not look great, and then in his Vegas Summer League debut, he scores 2 points, he grabs 2 rebounds. And he goes 0 for 4 from the floor and 0 for 3 from beyond the arc. And I'm not punting on Colby Jones, but the longer this goes on where he's not asserting himself in these like low-level exhibition games, the worry increases every single time.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. This is a moment where a player doesn't have to be just insanely good. But if you're a second-year player at Summer League, or if you're a fourth-year player like Mason Jones, or if you're like even going into your third, whether it was with the NBA team or not, like mm-hmm. Keon Ellis, you need to show out, right? And that could mean 12 points a game. It could be more 14 points a game. Mm-hmm. But you have to show like the versatility and who you are as a player. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that on this scale against guys who, again, this is not even G League competition. It's not. Like the G mm-hmm. League is a much higher level of competition than this. This is the Summer League has a bunch of players who will never even sniff the G League. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's always like you don't want to like panic about a player, especially after one Las Vegas Summer League game. But
sure.
If you look at the California Classic and sort of Colby Jones like performance there, mm-hmm. his inability to stand out at all really does make you worry about his ability to compete for minutes at an NBA level, which the Kings might need. And people need to realize he's not on a two-way contract. Like Colby Jones is on a standard NBA contract.
Yep.
He got a 4-year deal. The first 2 years are guaranteed, I believe. And what we're seeing here at this point is it's at least a little bit alarming. And you would just want to, you're hoping that people behind the scenes are giving him a push and saying, all right, man, like this is the time. And I'd also point out, like, I think one of the flaws to Summer League is when you go into, whether it's Vegas or you go into the California Classic, mm-hmm. and you don't have a true point guard, that really does set everybody else up for failure.
Yeah.
And so like the Jordan Fords of the world, or you know, David Stockton used to be one of these guys. Mm-hmm. Like if you can bring in a solid veteran G League point guard to run the show, your team is just way better.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, it's that calming influence. It's that ability to just kind of, you know, direct traffic and everything else. I think what San Antonio always, don't they bring Bouye with them? Mm-hmm. And that's something that the Kings don't have in the Summer League. They're trying to, you know, push guys into places where they're not comfortable, and that's okay. You do want to see Keon Ellis handle the ball more. You want to see Mason Jones and mm-hmm. you want to see Colby Jones handle the ball more. But at the end of the day, in order to maximize a roster, you really do need that guy who can sort of calm things down and avoid 31 turnovers in a game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I was hoping that we would see Colby Jones, and we'll talk about Keon Ellis in a second, but that's where, like you said, this is not even G League level competition. And yes, Colby Jones is not a true point guard, so expecting him to just go out there and turn into prime Chris Paul because he's more talented than the players around him isn't realistic. But at the same time, it's just how passive he's been and how timid he's been. That's the concerning part to me. And I know that that's not quantifiable and it's just vibes-based. And maybe he's working on something with his game that he's just not totally comfortable with or whatever, and he gets to the preseason and he's fine. But right now, it was in the Cal Classic. And now it's been here in the Summer League that and just one game. Maybe he goes out and dominates the next one and we feel better about it. But to this point, it's just like we talked about with Tyrese Halliburton in the playoffs, right? Where in those games in crunch time against the Knicks, it was like he was passing the ball and then running away from the action. It was like, my job is to distribute it to this guy, and then I'm going to go over here and not be involved. And that's just kind of how it's looked with Colby Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that, like you said, the coaching staff gets in his ear and is like, dude, you're an NBA player. Go be an NBA player. And we see a more assertive version of him. But right now, he was a player that I think I said last year, like, man, I think he's going to be in the rotation in 2024. And right now, there's just no realistic way that's going to happen if he doesn't start playing a lot better.
Yeah, he has time. He has time. And yeah. The other thing I would point out is that part of the problem is that, again, Colby Jones could use somebody to set him up as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think there could come a point where Keon Ellis doesn't play. So mm-hmm. especially with the Kings losing their first game, it means you're kind of out for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that at a certain point, you should probably pull Keon from this as well. Like maybe mm-hmm. give him one more game and then say, okay, like we're going to let Colby take over as like the main scoring cog or the main offensive initiator. And maybe that will help. So it's always possible that they just have like between Mason and Keon and Colby, they just have three guys that are too similar
mm-hmm.
in what they're trying to do, and no one that can really establish himself as like the guy. And if any of them are the guy, it's Keon.
Yeah.
Just because he is like in the rotation, whether he's starting or he's coming off the bench.
Yeah. Keon, 7 points, 4 boards, 6 assists. He went 3 of 10 from the field, 1 of 5 from three. That I'm less concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he goes 2 of 5 from three and he has 10, 4, and 6 on 4 of 10, that's not we're not even talking about it.
Yeah.
So I'm not super concerned about Keon just yet, particularly because of how good he was at the end of the Cal Classic. Yeah, I think he gets one more game though. I think you give him one more game of, hey, go be the dude, go get some work as a ball handler, as a playmaker, and then get back in the gym and focus on what his role is going to be with the Kings this year, which is not going to be that primary ball handler and playmaker, and it's going to be more, you know, 3-and-D type of wing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I also like the 31 turnovers. I looked, 7 guys had 3 or more turnovers. And like that turnovers can be like, you can catch a case of the turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that's something that we saw that this group like sort of, it became contagious.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about that either. I mean, Keon Ellis and yeah. Mason Jones each had 5 turnovers. There wasn't one guy with like 9 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was pretty well distributed throughout the entire team where they just dropped a lot of balls. Like they just looked like they weren't ready for whatever reason to you know, like be engaged and hold on to the ball and play good basketball.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of watching tonight. The Kings play the Jazz tonight. And that's what I'm just, are the guys that they're expecting to potentially play in the NBA this year, do they just look more ready to play and more ready to kind of take over a game, whether it's Colby Jones or Mason Jones or Keon Ellis? Do they look more dialed in now that they've been in Las Vegas? They've probably gotten some additional work in. That's kind of what I'm watching for tonight, more than any individual performance.
Yeah, and then I think the problem you're going to have is if you've seen this Utah Jazz team, they are so long and athletic. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, talk about crazy. They've got a 7'5" kid that I don't think anyone's ever heard of that played at like a smaller college that just is blocking shots left and right, like super long, athletic. I think he's 7'5", 220. So if that tells
that's
you.
That's outrageous, dude.
Yeah, but he's not the only one. They have, you know, they have a lot of their young up-and-coming stars on that team. And you'll look around and you'll watch like a shooting guard go in who's 6'5" with a, you know, 6'11" wingspan going like what in the world? They have all the long athletic guys, almost like what we've seen from the Pelicans the last couple of years. And that's going to be a problem for the Kings. The Kings don't have those young players hiding on the bench that have that length and athleticism that they kind of need.
Yeah. Kyle Filipowski,
mm-hmm.
Darius Bazley, who's been in the league for 5 years.
Athletic.
Kenny Lofton Jr. It's a
not
hoss.
Long and athletic.
Yeah, 6'6", 275, though. He is a hoss.
He is a hoss. Yeah.
Bryce Sensabaugh, who played real minutes for the Jazz last year and good player. Yeah, no,
I like Bryce Sensabaugh.
Yeah, me too. It's not going to be a
Found the 7'5" guy yet?
No, he's not. He's not on this version of the roster that I saw. But this is from a few days ago, so it could be. It could just be outdated. But.
Yeah, I watched their last game, and I thought, like, what are they just like finding new ways to find like Walker Kessler? Like, they just keep finding new ones.
Well,
like,
apparently
the
they're
world?
Trying to trade Walker Kessler, so maybe they're trying to trade.
Maybe
him
that's
and bring
why.
A new one.
Yeah.
All right, Monty McNair spoke today. Saw some of the quotes from that. We will discuss what that means. Is the Kings roster just done? Like, is this it? And if this is the roster they're going into camp with, what does that mean for Sacramento's prospects this season? We'll talk about it next. He's James. I'm Kyle. They're Jiffy Lube. They sponsor the show. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is over there, and by over there, I mean down in Cabo. Working from Cabo. This is commitment, dude.
Life could be worse, Kyle.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I went to Key West in October, and I was like, oh, I got to work the whole time because I had to record a couple of podcasts. I had to do some writing. But you're jumping on. You're like live show. I didn't do live shows from Key West. This is a different level of commitment that I admire and respect.
I appreciate that, Kyle. I love doing our show. So that's why. I mean, more than anything else, it's not that I want to like be a hero here and step in from Cabo and sure. Stay on the job. No, I love doing our show. So
same. But also, if I go to Cabo, do not expect me.
No, that's fine. I've raised the bar for expectations for where we're going.
This is a one-off for me. Let's get into what Monty McNair had to say about the Kings, because I think it's interesting, and I think it spins forward kind of the next step in this conversation, because it feels like the excitement about DeMar DeRozan is going to linger, but the initial pop of like, holy crap, the Kings got DeMar DeRozan is now gone. Mm-hmm. And you had reported, and there was rumors that the Kings, like, oh, hey, they're still in on Lauri Markkanen. Hey, they're still in on Kyle Kuzma. There's all this. And hey, there might be another move coming. Well, it's now July 15th. We're into Summer League. And it feels like now, hey, maybe that additional move is not coming. And then I saw that Monty McNair said that this is probably the group that they're going to go into camp with. This is the main core of players they're going to go into camp with, which means maybe there's some moves on the margins. But for the most part, this is the roster the Kings are looking at. And I got to tell you, man, when I hear that, it's, I don't want to say it bums me out, but it feels like I was so certain there was something else coming after the DeMar DeRozan trade. And that was a great addition. And I think it makes the Kings a playoff team.
Yeah, I think it's a great addition. And I agree with you. It makes them a playoff team. And when you compound that with some of the other moves that, you know, the smaller moves that they've made, whether it's Jalen McDaniels or it's drafting Devin Carter, like all of these things, you kind of sit there and go, okay, you know, we can look at last season and say they barely missed the playoffs, that they had injuries late in the season, and that played a role in them missing the playoffs. You filled some of that issue. But that doesn't change the fact that, number one, you got smaller at the small forward position.
Yep.
And I don't know, maybe DeMar DeRozan doesn't start at the three. Maybe he starts at the two, and you just have like a really compacted backcourt. But I'd also like, there's just, you're still missing the same ingredient that you were. Like, Jalen McDaniels is long and athletic, but, and he was perfectly fine a couple of years ago for Charlotte when he's on a bad team and had to take on a bigger scoring role and everything else. And I, at that point, I would have loved for the Kings to go out and trade for him then. Mm-hmm. And he's still only 26 years old, but we're realistically talking about a guy who is an upgrade from Kessler Edwards, but not a tremendous upgrade from Kessler Edwards. And, you know, same style of player, but same style of players like Glenn Robinson III. And so you're hoping that he can fill in like a back of the rotation guy, like a 9-10 guy. But I wouldn't put him in the top of my rotation if I were a team that had like high-end playoff aspirations.
Yeah,
he's a guy that can play, and he's an upgrade over what you had last year, but he's not someone to put you over the top. And I'm looking at this roster and, you know, Alex Len has to play. It's not that Alex Len can play. It's that at this point, Alex Len has to play.
Yeah, man.
And he's got to play a lot of games.
Yeah.
Like he can't get hurt and play 47 games or something.
Yeah.
Like he's going to need to be a player because you don't have another big man. You hope that Trey Lyles can play some five, but we've also heard that Trey Lyles may end up playing the four and the five, maybe even starting at the four. Like, there's a lot of question marks here about how your roster constructing when it comes to that. Still the same issue, the length and athleticism that you still don't have. Yeah. And so I'm intrigued, because if this is it, like, it's got to work really well. Like somehow Mike Brown has got to do a really, really good job of like blending this thing together very quickly.
And that's where my hang up is, because the roster feels incomplete. And every roster, I think, if we went through the NBA and we could even talk to experts and beat writers and radio guys and TV guys in other markets, and we can talk to those media members, and I'm sure they'll tell you, yeah, the roster's lacking in A, B, and C way. And we're going to do the same thing. But with Sacramento, it like, they got better. And I've said that a bajillion times over the last week. They got better. But then as we look and I see that Monty McNair is saying, yeah, this is kind of the group. And, you know, we're going to be patient. We're looking at wings and some forwards and some bigs. But this is largely the core that we're going to go into camp with. And, oh, Jalen McDaniels can be impactful on both ends of the floor. It's like, man, an optimistic view of the Kings. Sure, you can talk yourself into this is a top three, four team in the West. Yes, if everything goes right, like you said, hey, Alex Len plays a bunch and is really impactful, and Trey Lyles finds a role as a small ball five and a backup four, and just really turns it on and is lights out from three and is pulling down rebounds and doing a great job. Wow, what a player! And Kevin Huerter finds a role. There's all these things that you can talk yourself into, but all I keep coming back to, and all of that is valid, all that's on the table. Maybe everything goes right and they have this magical season, they win 55 games. But everything I come back to is what we talked about all of last season. We did multiple shows around the idea that every problem the Kings have comes back to their lack of size and their lack of athleticism on the wings. And I know they solved some of those problems with DeMar DeRozan, particularly the scoring and the shot creation. Like, there are not a lot of players that they could have added that would have helped more than DeMar DeRozan is going to in those two departments. That is without a doubt. But I can't help but sit here and think, man, they are really, really thin in the front court and on the wings again. And if we're gonna lay out that optimistic case, which I'm fine with, if you want to lay out the optimistic case where this is a 55 win team and they're really gonna take off this year, I think at the same time you have to lay out the other case where, hey, this team is better, but they're going to run into a lot of the same problems against a lot of the same teams because their roster is thin in a lot of the same areas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. And, you know, I think, look, people, because of what happened last season and because of what happened in the 3-point shootout the year before, I think people have lost sight a little bit about the impact that Kevin Huerter had on this roster.
Interesting.
And when I had conversations with people within the walls of the team, after the season, they were more of the like, look, Kevin Huerter had a bad season, but we don't think Kevin Huerter's a bad player. And we think that, like, we know who he was the year before, and there's potential for him to get back to that player, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe he's not the 15 point per game guy, but he's not the 10 point per game guy. Maybe he's in the middle there, like a 12, 13 point per game guy, but still. Sure. An elite, like, gravitational pull shooter, right? And so there's a possibility that Kevin Huerter, like, gets going and finds a way to get, like, right into that that type of player. And I would point out too that Kevin Huerter at 6'7", mm-hmm. like, he can play the two and the three. And at this point, like, could you see a weird lineup where it's De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan at the two, Kevin Huerter at the three, Keegan Murray at the four, and Domantas Sabonis at the five to start the season? Like, yeah, I could see that.
Wait, like this—that's the starting lineup.
Well, yeah, but like, if you know you have DeMar DeRozan, who's not a great 3-point shooter, and you know that you have the De'Aaron Fox, who improved and became a much better 3-point shooter last season, you need as many shooters on the court as possible. So, sure. Especially Sabonis, I could see them looking at Kevin Huerter and saying, okay, why not start him at the three? Why not start him alongside Keegan Murray? Now, defensively, sure, you might have some problems, but I'd make the case that in the same way that I used to with Buddy Hield, like, I think Buddy Hield, just because he's 6'4", was like defensively miscast as a shooting guard. Defensively, like, his awareness and everything else out in space at the top of the key, where he can be like manipulated by either a big man coming up and setting screens or just a better athlete running at him, mm-hmm. like wasn't an ideal situation. But Buddy was big enough and strong enough that if you put him on small forwards, he was actually pretty solid as a mm-hmm. defender. And you're also taking away a lot of the court when you put him on guys who are on the wing versus guys that are at the top of the key. Mm-hmm. I think that could be this similar case for Kevin Huerter, where if you put Kevin Huerter, like, maybe not on the super long, super crazy athletic, you know, not the Brandon Ingrams of the world, but a lot of other players, I think that Kevin Huerter might be able to hold his own as more of a three on the defensive end. Sure. Than, you know, so I don't know what they're thinking, but at this point, like, Kevin Huerter isn't a bad player.
No.
And I think that if you can kind of, like, forget about last season and let him establish who he is this year, it's possible that he could be a better player than what you could have got for him. And the other problem that you have, if you're Monty McNair, is I know I see people bringing up like beef stew and stuff, like Isaiah Stewart from the Pistons, right?
Sure.
But here's the problem: that if you take Kevin Huerter and you trade him for him right now, then what happens if Kyle Kuzma does come up for grabs? What happens if you can put a package for Brandon Ingram midseason if the Pelicans aren't doing well and they're like, man, we got to get off this now. We got to bail. Then you don't really have that trade chip that you do as of right now. And so you have to be cautious as well with how you're sort of looking at your trade packages. Because you traded Sasha Vezenkov, you traded Davion Mitchell to Toronto in a salary dump, and the salary dump looked great, but how do you use that salary?
So let me.
And so far, they haven't.
So let me. You said a lot of stuff I want to touch on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin Huerter on the roster for sure.
If Monty's saying they're done, that this is who he thinks they're going into camp with, then maybe. But then again, this could just be, you know, putting something out there in the media to make sure that people know. Yeah, we're totally comfortable with this as our roster.
Now, let's roll with that. Kevin Huerter on the roster. Because I've been operating that he was going to get traded. He hasn't yet. It doesn't sound like he's going to. But again, never say never. It's on the table. But let's assume he's going in. The biggest question I have with Kevin Huerter is not even defensively. Because I think defensively, the Kings have the horses to take some of the defensive burden off of him in a way they couldn't before Keon Ellis kind of burst on the scene, right? The question I have now, though, is you laid out that lineup where Kevin Huerter is starting. That Fox, Huerter, DeRozan, Keegan, Sabonis lineup.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the lineup, if it is, hey, they came to an agreement with Malik Monk and they decided that they have the pieces now to allow Malik Monk to start, or if they say no, DeRozan has to be at the two, Keon has to be at the two, DeRozan has to be at the three, and Keegan has to be at the four, and Kevin Herter's coming off the bench. Is that a role that he's going to accept? Because I think that was a big problem for him last year. And I think that was the reason we saw him shoot a career low percentage, was because his role was threatened at the beginning of the year, and then he struggled coming out of the gate, and so there was all this questioning about, is he going to get traded? What's wrong with him? And I just don't think it was like a smooth season, particularly coming off a rough playoff series to end the year prior. So he was in this situation last year where he never really got stable, never really got his forgive the phrase here, but got his feet set. And now, if he's in a spot where the Kings are going, yeah, hey, you're going to be coming off the bench, and also you're going to be in every trade rumor for the entire year. Like, I don't think that's setting him up for success.
No, I'm with you, and I fully understand that. I would say this, though. Kevin Huerter was coming off a career year last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people forget he was the Kings' third leading scorer the year that they had the highest offensive rating in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Like he literally was their third scorer and so incredibly consistent. He had one lull in the middle of the season where he was bad shooting wise, and then he snapped out of it and kept going.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he went into last offseason and he talked about this a little bit in his postseason wrap up. He said, look, what I did is I worked on the offense that we're playing in. I worked on those, like extending out off the high dribble handoff, you know, the DHO. Like he's like, I worked on that a lot. I worked on how to play off of Domas and all these things. He's like, and then I got into the season and teams took that stuff away from us. And I had spent the entire offseason kind of just working on the things that would have made me better in that system. He's like, so this offseason, I'm going to go back to the basics of what I typically do, which is just try to work on my overall game and be a better basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing. But I also think that Kevin Huerter walked into last summer thinking, okay, like I didn't have a good playoff series, but hey, neither did Harrison Barnes, neither did Name That King. There were plenty of guys who didn't have a good playoff series.
Sure.
And he walked into the summer believing he was going to be the starting shooting guard come training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then in training camp, they had brought in Chris Duarte, and next thing you know, it for some reason became a competition. Chris Duarte gets hurt, then it's not a competition. But I think the psyche like really threw Kevin Herter. So
I agree.
What I'm hoping is that Kevin Herter, number one, has been working with somebody all summer long on this type of situation. Like what we saw from Kevin Herter, a lot of his issues, there was nothing physically wrong with Kevin Herter until late in the season when he dislocated his shoulder. Outside of that, like the mental aspect of the game got to Kevin Herter. And like, I'm not speaking out of turn here. There's no question he got, like he had a hitch in his shot and all kinds of weird mechanical issues that came up out of nowhere. None of that was physical. There was nothing wrong with him that would have caused that. It was all mental. And I'm hoping that he's worked on that. You know, it's not just about jumping higher and shooting the ball better and being in better physical shape to run faster and run further. Sometimes it is about understanding roles, understanding your place in the league and your place in the hierarchy of your team and really taking a step back. And I'm hoping that that's what we've seen, that that's what we'll see from Kevin. So what I'm saying is that I think he'll be better prepared physically. We know he was like, he was at Coachella with
Bottle with Rock, Domo, I think,
right?
Just Bottle for Rock, the sake of bad, accuracy.
Yeah, no, Bottle Rock. My bad. Bottle Rock with Domas.
Yeah.
We know he's been around his teammates here and there.
Sure.
But at the same time, you're really, really hoping that he's coming in with the understanding of like anything can happen in the NBA. Just because you're making $17 million a year doesn't mean you're a starter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could mean like they just brought back Malik Monk and paid him more money than you make to be the sixth man, most likely.
Yeah.
And so, like, realistically, this was probably a wake-up call season for Kevin Herter, and whether it positively or negatively impacts him going forward, we'll have to wait and see how he responds. But I'm not like just ready to throw Kevin Herter out and say, hey, look, man, you're not a good basketball player anymore. No. You don't need to be here. But he can be a means to an end, right?
Sure.
And by that, I mean, he can be the piece that's moved in a trade. The Kings probably had an option of who they wanted to trade, whether it was Harrison Barnes or it was Kevin Herter. Mm-hmm. And it was probably the difference between going between two different teams when they're completing the three-team swap for
DeRozan.
For DeRozan, yeah. So, like, there's a good possibility that this is a guy that they chose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. Like, if this is a guy that they chose to be around and they think that his three-point shooting and, like, his ability to stretch the defense, like, makes sense for this team, okay. Because it did 2 years ago. It was phenomenal to watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough, man.
I think on this roster, I'd rather have Harrison. I think in a vacuum, I'd rather have Herter. But I do wonder... A, if the Devin Carter injury changed the Kings' thought process on Herter at all. Because if you have a healthy Devin Carter, which the Kings won't until January at the minimum, you have at the two, or players who can play the two, Malik Monk, Devin Carter, DeMar DeRozan, Keon Ellis. I could just, it feels like Kevin Herter's spot is at the three specifically, and I'm not totally sure where that if that's going to be right for him and if that's the right fit. But we'll see.
I definitely, when you talk about the Devin Carter injury, I think it does change everything. I mean, whether he was going to play 24 minutes a game or he was going to average like 16 to 18, that's still a big role that you just lost. Yeah. And, you know, again, they went down, they got Jordan McLaughlin to sort of fill the backup three, but if you're just looking right now at realistically, you can group players in different areas, right? But if you're looking at your backcourt being De'Aaron and Malik and Keon and Jordan and maybe Colby Jones, well, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Right. And because if I'm going to group those guys together and then I'm going to look at the small forward spot and say, that's kind of DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Herter. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look at the power forward spot. I'm going to say that's kind of Trey Lyles and Keegan Murray. And then Jalen McDaniels is going to be your fifth forward there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
that's kind of your team. If you throw in Devin Carter, it does mix things up pretty substantially.
Yeah.
And it adds a ton of depth. But at this point, like they do need to use those last two, or at least one of the last roster spots,
yeah,
to try to add some other size at some position. And so, yeah, it's kind of intriguing, Kyle, like the roster build of this thing, it doesn't feel done. And so when you hear Monty McNair say something like that, that this is a team that they're going to take into camp, it does feel a little bit like, okay, this is what they're going to take into camp. Are you hearing that out there, Washington Wizards? This is a team we're taking into camp. Like, are you hearing us? Because that's what we're going to do. We're
this
not going to give
team
you two first-round picks.
That we're taking into camp.
Yes.
Maybe some smaller moves, like a signing. No trade.
Yeah.
Washington.
We're not giving up two first-round picks, Washington. But we're ready to move forward. Yeah,
our phone line's always open.
Yeah. I would just say, like, if you were to add one other piece, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So, yeah.
Real quick, on the Lauri Markkanen front, it sounds like that's a done thing for the Kings. You mentioned earlier, you know, wanting to hang on to Herter in part because of how he might be able to potentially impact the lineup, but B, for a potential midseason trade. Oh, Brandon Ingram, it looks like he's going to hang out in New Orleans, at least for the time being. It doesn't sound like the Jazz are super interested in moving off Lauri Markkanen, and maybe the Wizards, who just signed Jonas Valanciunas, are still under this impression that the back end of the East is really weak, and they're going to be able to go make a real push for a play-in spot. But it sounds like the Kings are off of Markkanen. And there was some reporting in The Athletic today from Shams Charania. This I just thought was really funny. On the Markkanen stuff. The Warriors have discussed a trade proposal with the Jazz around Moses Moody, multiple first-round picks, multiple pick swaps, and multiple second-round picks. The Jazz countered with an offer of Lauri Markkanen for Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, and Brandon Pajemski, along with picks, which surprisingly has been a non-starter for Golden State. So it doesn't shock me at all that that's something that the Kings probably punted on, because if that's what the Jazz want from the Warriors, I can't fathom what they would have asked for from Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that the Kings had a competitive offer on the table that did not include Keegan Murray,
mm-hmm,
right? It's a competitive offer.
Competitive in what sense, though? Competitive in the general trade market sense, or competitive in the Danny Ainge is an insane person sense?
Yeah, and that's always going to be the problem. and the worst part is we're talking about a guy who's not under contract moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, and who his people have been pretty clear to people that he would really, really like to explore free agency this summer,
mm-hmm,
and to give himself like an opportunity to go. He doesn't feel like he really had a good free agent experience the last time,
mm-hmm,
and that he was kind of left out of the cold in the free agent world and had to sign with Cleveland on like a make good contract for a guy of his level of skill.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made good. And so, like, he wants to figure out free agency and play where he wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like a giant red flag. Why would you give up multiple first round picks and multiple pick swaps for a guy who won't commit?
Yeah.
And if he's not going to commit to you, then like, what are you doing? So the deal is, if they sign him on August 3rd, right? By August, well, is it August 3rd? They have
sometime
an exact
in the beginning
date
of August.
But yeah, they well, maybe it's August 6th. There's one day that they have to sign him, and they have to do a renegotiate and extend, like what the Kings did with, mm-hmm, Sabonis. If he gets that contract on that specific date, 6 months he has to stay on the roster. That equates to trade day.
Yes, the
actual trade deadline
day of the deadline.
And you can't trade him until that day, and you can't trade him after that day. Yeah. So it's like this really weird dynamic that's in play.
Yeah, that's going to be fascinating, especially since the Jazz may have some inkling from Lauri Markkanen that part of his free agency is going to be exploring staying with Utah. And so if Utah is going to trade him, they're going to try and squeeze every last drop they can out of that deal. All right, we have to hit a break. We got a second hour coming up. I'm going to try and make you some money coming up next, because DraftKings dropped their 2024-2025 NBA season win totals. We'll tell you where the Kings are at, and I'm going to tell you which way to go on that next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.